such sights to show you.
Oh, I don't know. Speaking of losing our goddamn minds, how about that?
Yeah, speaking of Jesus Christ Almighty, are you ready to get started?
Yeah, it's your fucking birthday, whenever you want.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey, hey.
And man, oh man, we talked about it last week, and we made it. We're here.
Yes.
We're filled with fear.
And we are not used to this kind of filmmaking right now because we're crossing some thresholds here.
Some streams have been crossed.
Yeah, definitely. So this week, guys, we're gonna go ahead and give the viewer discretion warning. This is a messed up piece of programming that
I would say this is probably, and I've seen some pretty graphic shit. We've covered the Poughkeepsie tapes. We've covered what was the documentary from the first your
oh,
first
Oh, the Killing
month?
Of America.
We've covered the Killing of America. Yeah. This is by far the most graphic and the most disturbing movie we've covered, in my opinion.
I would say next to Killing of America because that one had real footage. But this is definitely in the ballpark.
I would say in terms of like just like concept and content.
Yes, yeah, pretty horrifying.
I mean, Killing of America, I had to like pause and take a break.
Yeah.
Which does, so I guess that would by definition make it a harder watch. Mm-hmm. But Martyrs gave me nightmares.
Yeah, Martyrs can affect you very, very. We're covering Martyrs, but
yeah, we're covering Martyrs from 2008, not the shitty American remake from 2016 or whatever.
Yeah. We're mostly avoiding that one. But just before we get started, again, graphic warning. But you know, since we might lose a couple of you before you leave, why not give us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you have it.
If this isn't the content you're looking for, write us a 5-star review and
just for us going through the process of breaking this one down for you, and really just showing the variety of content that we have to offer over here, Alex. Jesus,
I know.
I think that's worth 5 stars right there.
I think
if
so.
If I do say something else, yeah.
We're worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we are going into this episode to prepare for a very somber episode, I'm sure. But we are full of sushi. We are drinking White Claws.
Yep. It's a good time. I mean, mostly a good time.
We had a good time in preparation for this because we're about to not have a good time.
Exactly. No, we're all going to have a great time. We're just about to dive into some stuff that's not so good. Not so good.
Putting it lightly. IMDb did write a synopsis for this movie, and it says, "A young woman's quest for revenge against the people who kidnapped and tormented her as a child leads her and a friend, who is also a victim of child abuse, on a terrifying journey into a living hell of depravity." That is the IMDb synopsis.
Just, I think the last sentence is like most of the movie.
the whole
of the text is a portion, and then it just keeps going.
The first two-thirds of the sentence are, I would say, the first 30 to 45 minutes of the movie.
About 30 minutes.
I'd say about 40-45 minutes.
But, you know.
This is a hard fucking watch. Anyway, this movie was written and directed by Pascal Laguiere.
Laguiere?
Sure.
Let me know when I do it good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Laguiere?
Yes, good job.
Okay. Yay.
Is starring...
Gold star. Yay.
Morjana?
Aloui. Marjana Aloue. All right.
Yeah, and I did not turn my French brain on today. I'm also, again, full of sushi, drinking White Claws, and I smoked a little.
Just a tiny bit.
And then, yeah, Michaeline, Jean-Paulay.
Jean-Paulay?
Jean-Paulay. Right. I don't know. Box office. The budget for this movie was 2.8 million euro. I almost said pounds. That is a euro. And then it was released in May of 2008 at the Cannes Film Festival, and then September 3rd, 2008 in France.
Yes.
And surprisingly, this did not take off at the box office and grossed only $1.1 million.
I wonder why.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so this is interesting because it kind of is almost a sequel episode to something we've done before.
Yeah.
A little bit. Spiritually, it is a sequel episode. We're going to get into that right now. So, again, just going to pause right here. We are, spoiler alert, going to be doing a pretty big play-by-play. And just hype it up a little bit. It's my first play-by-play I've done since season one.
Oh, my gosh.
I have not written a play-by-play since season one.
The play-by-plays are usually an Alex Webster staple.
That's true. It's been 2 years since I've done it. So, and you know, the first play-by-play I ever did was the Poughkeepsie tapes. So, just so you know the level of film you're getting into and why I decided that, holy shit, this kind of deserves it. It is horrifying. So, just again, your little warning right there. Now, we're going to get into a little bit about how this sausage got made, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that a good way of putting it? Because it's gruesome. It's not a great process. It's okay, Alex. Breathe. We're ready. Oh, it's a sequel to an episode you wrote, too. That's interesting. New yeah. French Extremity was at its height around the time Martyrs was, of course, being developed. A time when violence on screen was prevalent worldwide, and filmmakers were under a lot of scrutiny because of this.
That
was a big lens.
New French Extremity.
Yeah, New French Extremity and, of course, the American torture porn genre were both two big things that made people wonder, why is everybody so freaking... Like, that's horror for you. It's representative of its time period. And early 2000s were a dark time for the world.
Yeah, you guys can't see my smile right now, but New French Extremity is just like, I love it.
Chef's kiss jam
just,
right there.
Oh, so good.
Now, of course, we talk more in depth about New French Extremity in our episode on High Tension from about a year ago, actually. But just know that it's a sort of a combination of art house and horror with a touch of extreme violence and body horror. And there's a lot more that goes into that, Those are the basis.
It scratches all my itches, man.
It does. It's definitely within your wheelhouse, for
like,
sure. Yeah.
Art house, horror, like extreme violence, and body horror.
And like, it's like done well. That's
exactly,
the thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Like I'm spoiling my thoughts a little bit, but like this movie is beautifully done. Like for a disgusting movie, it is beautiful.
It hurts. It hurts a little bit, for sure. So the term was actually originally used as a pejorative. But the rebellious filmmakers who pushed the movement clung to it with motherfucking pride.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't give a shit. One of those filmmakers is Pascal Lugier.
Yeah, I would assume.
Pascal Lugier.
Don't call him Lugier.
Who would create one of the biggest films in the movement. Of course, the one we're fucking talking about right now. Come on. It's this one. Anyways, Lugier conceived the film.
Very good.
I'm going to just keep playing it up every time I see it. He conceived the film after watching Eli Roth's Hostel, of all things. Huh? He was suffering severely from depression at the time and felt a horror film would be the ideal outlet to express himself creatively. Yeah. He was going through some shit, but obviously if you know the contents of this film...
Oh my gosh.
He was going through some real considerable shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was severely depressed. It's during the writing of this.
Call someone. Jesus.
It explains the nihilistic kind of take that we're going to experience right now. But he didn't want to make a torture porn film, which was the fashion at the time. This is mostly because this often asks the audience to relish in the deaths of the on-screen victims. That's part of the popcorn appeal of torture film, oddly enough. He wanted to make the anti-torture porn film and really make the audience understand viscerally what the pain the characters would be experiencing. That was his big thing. No Hollywood. Play it up for, I don't know, misery. Anyways, Lugier also was rather angry at the state of the world at the time, good old Bush era. So this one was going to be pretty nihilistic. See, he really took the freedom fries thing to heart. Yeah, yeah.
He took
French fries.
No.
You don't see her face, audience, but it was among the most top 10 most dismissive that Sandrina Webster has been of one of my jokes. This is up there.
Top 10 most dismissive.
Top 10, like, did you utter those fucking words? Okay, nah.
One day I'm just going to ignore you completely. Oh man, you made me. That was so bad. You made me lose my train of thought.
Oh no, I feel horrible. I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
More clot. More clot. Clot will come back with the clot.
I feel like my eyes are also slowly just like getting more and more like shut.
Do you need caffeine?
No, it's from smoking weed.
God, do you need caffeine? Do you need all three substances in you to come across?
I think that just makes my brain take a screenshot.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anyways.
God damn it.
So, hey, but the bottom line is he really, really wanted to push some buttons and show critics of France's most provocative genre just how fucking provocative these guys can be. He really had an axe to grind here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, though, the director had a hard-working producer as an ally who found a way to get the film done as economically as possible without the usual hurdles of something we're very familiar with on this podcast, pure development help.
Yeah, Anthony's a little bit of the expert here, more so than myself, but we're familiar with the concept. Anthony just loves it as like a pet project.
It is, yeah, it's fun. Initially, no studio wanted anything to do with the film. But soon they found a partner in Canal Plus, one of the few TV stations left in France that was comfortable showing unusual programming, is how we described it. With that, though, Martyrs was relatively drama-free, question mark, because, well, there really isn't much known about the filmmaking process, aside from it being made in a matter of months, with the poor actresses having to cry every day while the team learned how to properly utilize the huge number of special effects they needed, thanks to this very menacing script. Okay, so there were actually a few broken bones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a few.
Just the industry standard.
Yeah, okay. And the strain on lead actresses, Mylene Jampanoy.
Sure.
And Morjana.
I don't know if Aloe? That's just like because we live in Southern California, we really want to make that J sound like...
I know.
Like
inner Mexican coming out right now, for
well,
sure.
I did the same thing, and yeah. I think that's just like a, how do we do this?
Morjana.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mylene and Morjana, they fucking hated this experience so much, they vowed never to work with director Pascal Laguier again. But other than that, it was pretty straightforward.
Sure.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
I'm sorry, with... Director?
Did I say the wrong thing?
No, I'm just saying you spelled it wrong.
Oh, a Doritor.
Ditor.
The Dorito man, yeah.
the Ditor.
However, the release of this of Martyrs was definitely not drama-free.
What?
Just so you know.
This
definitely
super
not.
Graphic, like, tumultuous movie?
No, ruffled a few feathers.
What?
Just a couple feathers, Alex. Let us know.
So, Martyrs premiered during May...
Jesus. Does not give us a specific date. I could have looked it up. I didn't look it up.
At the 2008 Cannes Film Festival, which director Pascal Laguier did not attend, a move that was probably for the best, as the crowd at Cannes was not prepared for this one.
They were
in
not.
The slightest.
Nope.
Word of mouth from the time was that this particular screening was one of the most divisive in the festival's history. Hell, there are even reports of attendees crying in the theater. If I had not read what had happened in this movie before I had watched it, I probably would have been crying too.
Oh yeah. No, this is
seeing this in 2008, like with nothing like this ever before, like I definitely, like for fucking sure would have been crying.
I mean, think of how much horror we've had up until this point in time. Like we've had time to get used to these concepts, but back then they're like, oh no, this is completely off base.
I would have lost my shit. Totally. According to Laguier, people outraged at the film immediately began labeling him as a fascist and sexist.
Mm-hmm.
Critics were immediately comparing it to American torture porn in a very not favorable way. But the film also gained a lot of buzz from attendees who found it mesmerizing.
I mean, when we talk about divisive, that means, like, people fucking hated it, but people also fucking loved it. Like, some people were like, this is the new thing now, right? Like, this is horror now.
Yeah.
It was a whole back and forth of emotions between all these people.
Yeah. Which I can imagine being, like... That's very similar to how I felt watching it. Like, it's a disgusting movie, and I don't know if I will ever be able to rewatch it ever again, but it's also mesmerizing and beautiful.
And spoiler alert on my thoughts also here. It's a fantastically made, really good film I will never recommend anybody watch. Never.
You'll never go up to someone and be like, oh, you know what you should watch? Murders.
I'm going to have to know your entire filmography and really know you as a human being. And even then, I might tell you no. Yeah. That's how that means
when I was just like, oh, you should watch this movie, Anthony?
Well, we both didn't really know.
No, that's fair. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, Ryan Rotten at shocktillyoudrop.com said that the film, quote, is the new yardstick against which all forms of extreme genre films should be measured against.
That's what I'm talking about, and with the side that loved it.
That is incredibly accurate, because part of the reason that I started showing any interest in this movie is because people were just like comparing it. It's like, well, it's bad, but it's not like Martyrs bad.
Interesting. Ooh. That's a good way of putting that. Okay, so I've heard that similar comparison before also.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have talked to me about this film and been like, okay, yeah. Or like other things, but like, have you seen Martyrs?
Yeah, it could be. It's bad, but it's not Martyrs, you know?
Yeah.
So, in a sense, Ryan's review kind of... Yeah.
Good summation there. Good summation. Shock till you drop. Thumbs up.
Jamie Graham of Total Film called Martyrs, quote, one of the most extreme pictures ever made and one of the best horror movies of the last decade, unquote.
Mr. Graham. All right.
Dang. Peter?
It was Peter. I put too much cheese there.
Petter. Petter.
You don't have to read it again out loud.
That was actually an accident on my part.
You can get through it. I'm interested to see if you can actually say Peter while seeing Petter on there. You got this. You got this.
Oh, what is an Anthony Fuentes episode without funny typos?
They're getting really more absurd as we go.
I feel like
along.
You're doing this on purpose.
They're getting so much worse. I was heavy on the T.
I feel like this is at some point, like, you see a typo and you're just like, fuck it, it's gonna be funny content.
Nah, you know what fucked up is I had to double check the name, but only because I thought I did Whittle wrong. I didn't realize that I added an extra T to the fucking first name.
Peter Whittle of Times UK sums up the opposition to the film, saying, quote, the air of pretentiousness and the whiff of lesbian chic suggests that the bunch of nihilists who produce this garbage will claim something for it. All it really demonstrates is that there is something seriously rotten in the state of France, unquote.
Oh, boy. He went broad.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, listen, this film sucks. This genre
Whiff
sucks.
Of
France
lesbian
sucks.
Chic mm-hmm. is...
Lesbians. Oh, don't even get me started on them. Like, he went hard.
Also, the state... Yeah, it was just... This guy missed the fucking point.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know what? I never heard of this Petter Whittle. All right.
Who the fuck is that? Although, okay, my next point kind of really brings up what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Laguiller felt that critics completely misinterpreted the film and that their knocks against horror were unwarranted overall. On top of this, Martyrs was then given an 18 and up rating in France, the equivalent of an NC-17 here in the U.S.
Mm-mm-mm, not good.
Yeah, this made the film DOA and provoked producers to appeal the rating.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, NC-17 movies, I mean, would also do very, very poorly in the U.S.
We talk shit about the MPAA, but this is one of those movies where I'd be like... I kind of get...
honestly, if this movie... did this movie come out in America?
No.
It never got an American release? Okay.
Not quite, yeah. You'll find out in a second, but yes.
I'm sure I'm going to say it. But if this movie came out in the U.S., like, in, like, a wide release, like, it would absolutely get an NC-17 rating. And honestly... I don't think I could fault the MPAA.
Yeah, I'm not going to really talk shit on them. I'm going to be like, oh, wow, okay, huh? So you guys had to watch the whole thing, huh?
You guys actually, like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You guys okay?
I can only, like, seeing this in theaters must be the most intense thing.
Oh, I bet. No, I don't even want to think about it. Mm-mm.
So... And on this whole thing, he states, quote, it's always the same old story. Anytime a society is hard, unfair, and brutal, horror films are accused of everything. It prevents the politics from taking their own responsibilities about the fact that they fucking created that terrible social situation. Horror is just a mirror of its time, unquote.
So I gotta say, I saw a couple interviews with this guy. He very much speaks in platitudes for every fucking answer. He's always just like, well, broadly, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, oh my god, this guy is like, He's like pretentious, but he made Martyrs.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, dude, he's the one that puts his money where his mouth is for sure.
I mean, it's he crazy. Made Martyrs, so.
Yeah.
Yeesh. So eventually, after all these platitudes,
mm-hmm.
The ratings board brought it down to a 16 and up after the Society of Film Directors petitioned the French Ministry of Culture to review the decision, saying, quote, "This is the first time a French genre film has been threatened with such a rating," unquote.
Yeah, I think we got to emphasize here, this is really unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like, this was straight up, people were pushing boundaries, and the French Ministry of Culture had to review and be like, okay, there's a lot of discussion going around. This represents France, so let's figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16 plus, they settled on. So there you go.
I mean, poor 16-year-old. I pity the 16-year-old. Martyrs ended up making around $1 million worldwide, but it was mostly pushed onto DVD, where the unrated version would be available. And it started getting fans.
Oh, definitely.
Speaking of...
Well, where else do we find reception from fans of a particular film, Alex?
The corner.
Yeah, the corner store?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, that's where the algorithm starts, actually. But yes. So it would be the Letterboxd corner, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, so like angles. I get what you're saying. Box. Yeah, now you're going with. Martyrs features a 3.7 out of 5 rating on the platform out of a total of 6,100 reviews. More
nice.
Than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Not bad. User Brett, not Brad Pitt, because she didn't have a fucking review on that.
I'm sure she did somewhere.
Brett gives the film 4 stars, saying, quote, "It's hard to ignore the undercut of misogyny in the third act, but Martyrs is arguably a modern horror classic from the new French extremity movement. If you're cool with extremely disturbing gore and violence, then check it out. If not, I recommend staying at least 300 feet away from the film at all times," end quote.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's a good teaser.
Are we going to discuss the undercurrent of misogyny in the third act?
We can talk about it in discussion for sure.
Okay.
Or when we get to the third act, we'll see.
Okay.
It's pretty on the nose.
It's pretty prevalent.
Yeah, pretty on the nose.
And kind of obvious.
And on the cheek and on the head.
And then systematically removed from your entire body.
Yep. Yeah, pretty crazy. So Lucy goes a tad higher in her 4.5-star rating, saying, quote unquote, "I don't even know how to rate this. I don't even know what to say. I'm in absolute shock, terrified to my core. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. Pure horror. I'm going to have nightmares tonight."
Same.
That was you. That was your fucking testimony right
yeah.
there. Yeah. That's one-to-one. You and Lucy. Right there.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. Yeah. I truly was like texting like people mm-hmm. just like, I need a hug.
And writing this episode and then doing the research,
yeah.
I was literally a whole Sunday just all Martyrs, all in my app. By the time I was done, I'm like, fuck. I was considering watching the remake at the beginning just so I could have the ammunition
frame
in my
reference.
Head. But I was done after. I'm like, no.
No more.
No, I'm okay.
All Martyrs, no. All the time.
No, I'm just going to get real drunk right now. of course, and Elvis the Alien gives the film 4.5 stars as well, saying, quote unquote, "It's so good, but I would never ever recommend it. People watch it. Stay away from this movie at all costs." Similar to where I'm at right now. It's
yeah.
very, very good.
I was going to say, I was like, did you get your opinion from this particular Letterboxd review?
Well, I also got it from another review that I saw too, but this emulated the same points.
Where it's just like, you would just never recommend it to anyone. Which
yeah.
is funny because it gets recommended. This is like, the reason why I'm covering it is because of how it has been recommended.
I feel like if you're in academic circles though, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this movie...
This is an academic film.
It should be studied. It's a studyable film for sure. It's a major part of its movement.
This and Antichrist.
Yes.
Were films that like... Well, I don't know if Martyrs was actually assigned for my horror and gender class that mm-hmm. I took, or film, whatever. The class that I talk about all the
yeah.
time. The one that got me interested in horror in mm-hmm. an academic capacity. But Antichrist was, and in terms of, like, bad touch feelings and, like,
oh, yeah.
horrified sensations.
That made me shudder thinking about some of the scenes in that movie. Yeah.
Like, Antichrist is kind of a similar, I'm not going to say, like, that similar, but, like, feeling-wise, similar.
Yeah, yeah. It's that one, ooh.
Well, Antichrist, neither of us were able to finish.
I couldn't finish it. That one probably got to play by play at some point. I can't do it.
Gotta get Adrian back for that
one.
I
know, he's gonna have to write that bitch. But of course, finally, Amaya gives the film 3 stars, saying of Martyrs, quote, "It's like that SpongeBob episode in which Squidward drops a sofa leg on his foot and excruciatingly pulls his toenail off, except it's 99 minutes long." Unquote.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's Martyrs. That's Martyrs. Ultimately, Martyrs would be considered one of the most brutal films of the new French extremity movement. Something Pascal Laguier was actually very proud of, as France had been too dismissive of genre films in the past years. And the true fans who grew up on John Carpenter and Wes Craven movies were finally given the chance to show what they can do. And
that, yeah.
That's how he labeled it. He's just like, I've watched American slashes and horrors all my fucking life.
And this is what they did to me.
Yep, and this is how I'm going to express myself. So, suck it up.
I mean, yeah, you get a similar thing even with Ari Aster.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Check a Hereditary episode for that one, because that's a very good point. He's just like, he's, I've been a fan of this the whole fucking time.
Yeah, like, yeah. And some of the stuff that comes out of his brain, like, I'm just like, whew, okay.
Well, they understand the metagame. They know where the boundaries are. They know what people are used to and not used to.
And they're know, like, what's, just and they know the what's line. Terrifying because of that.
Yeah, let's push it. Push the line further. That's their thing. They push the line just a tad further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this newfound reputation and love of genre films got him signed on to do the Hellraiser remake shortly after Martyrs, where the director vowed to explore gay S&M culture thoroughly via the story of Pinhead. This was too much for the producers, who canned him immediately. Yes, they wanted the film to be accessible to teenagers. We talk a little bit about that.
We talk about Hellraiser. Like gay S&M culture in our Hellraiser episode.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably our horniest episode.
Up there. Definitely up there. Definitely up there. His only American film, The Tall Man, ended up being a commercial failure, and his subsequent film, Ghostland, had a horrible accident that permanently scarred an actress's face due to Laguier's aggressive directorial style. So he pretty much got iced out after that.
Yeah. I mean, you permanently scar someone.
Yeah. For and being... an actress who her whole way of her lifestyle is her face.
Wait, an American one?
No, like, it was what, French.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. Is it someone I would know?
No. It's a French actress.
Which isn't like to diminish the incident or anything.
Oh, just her, huh?
I was just curious.
No. Yeah, she got scarred in the face because of they couldn't fix the damage in time. Yeah.
So oh, my God.
Yeah, he...
So he just fucked up.
He fucked up. He fucked up his career, really.
Yeah.
So Martyrs received a 2015 remake that earned an astonishing 9% on Rotten Tomatoes and didn't even break $1 million. Letterboxd reviewer Venkatesh summed it up best in his 1-star review, quote, "Utterly bullshit," unquote.
Yeah, I've heard it's really awful, and I...
I can't even, dude. How do you do this? How do you even try to remake this?
It is available free to watch on IMDb right now, if you really just want to laugh at something. I started watching it, because I was like, there's no way this is the 2008 one, and I started playing it, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to look for English and or French. Mm-hmm. What language is this in? And it, like, got stuck on this, like, jump scare of, like, the bent lady.
Yeah.
Or at least the American version of the bent lady, which really just looks like the nun. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, this is dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No bueno. No bueno. But now, of course, Martyrs is brutal, unforgiving, and it has a nihilistic reputation, really. And it truly features some of the most graphic kills you'll probably see in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, we're going to discuss... Nope, we're going to go to a play-by-play. We're breaking this down scene by scene.
Yay!
For you today. That's what we're going to do. So again, faint of heart, sorry. I would pause it right now. Literally just go play with the children.
I was going to say, this not think about this at all. One of our shorter episodes for you, but...
okay. No, it's still 5 pages. Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, no, sorry. I wanted to pull up the episode, but I clicked to the wrong window, and I was like, where's the episode?
Oh, no, I've been doing it this whole time, not recording.
That would have sucked. That's actually, I think, probably one of my worst fears, where, like, I think I hit record, but I actually don't, and then it's just the end of everything. So, obviously, we are not a spoiler-free podcast. Never have been, never will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to talk about this movie.
Yes, same here. Same here. You ready to talk about it?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you sure?
No, I'm not ready, but
are you sure?
No.
Okay, well, too fucking bad. Too goddamn bad. All right, so, trading off here. In the opening scene, a young, clearly brutalized girl is on the run, having just escaped captivity. Her name is Lucy, and she is soon rescued, spending the remainder of her childhood at St. Mary's Orphanage, where she develops a friendship with fellow resident Anna Asoi. So, to elaborate on this, this starts off with a very, like... The first scene is just a little girl running.
This poor, like beaten.
Yeah, clearly beaten. Physically just fucking destroyed.
Yeah, just running and crying down the street. It's really sad.
But she is rescued, and there's almost like a montage-y way of showing her progress.
Like, basically is, like, this newscaster doing a news story on her and her rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it shows them going back to this building that she was rescued from.
Mm-hmm.
And showing, like, oh, but no one's there. And, like, they kind of explain her abuse and basically saying, like, one of the worst cases of child abuse that France has ever seen. And basically saying, in all ways but sexually, she was abused. Like,
yes, in all ways but sexually. That's right.
Yeah.
The lack of sexual abuse was throwing them off.
Was very, very prevalent and, like, made very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she ain't got no friends either, unfortunately. No. No, definitely not.
No. So, during her time at the orphanage, Lucy encounters a really unfriendly demon, like, creature that's basically stalking her every turn.
Mm-hmm.
This isolates her from everyone except Anna, who becomes her only friend. Well, I mean, her and the demon.
Yeah. Demon's trying to be her friend.
Kind of.
Yeah. Hug me!
Okay.
Oh, but she keeps scratching my back. Hog back! You're not very warm. Hog back!
She just wants a hug.
But, so this actually does a very good job also establishing that Anna is very close with her.
Mm-hmm.
She really is all she has.
Yeah.
And it's, in more ways than one, this whole experience is really traumatizing to her because she really has no support of this other woman.
She has no way to really handle any of her, you know, shit. Because
clearly, it's abuse.
Yeah,
no, it's fucked up. So, but 15 years do pass by, and we are introduced to the Belfonds family having a lovely breakfast together. Mr. and Mrs. Belfond, they're worried about their son Antoine's future, as he seems to be wasting his education, trying to find his dreams rather than going the lawyer path or doctor path. Some of the path it was, and their little daughter named Marie. Being kind of a little shit to her brother, but it's like a very, very
sibling-esque,
rivalry. I guess, and they're all having a little breakfast.
The mom is being like really harsh. Like, she's just like, "Why can't you be more like your sister?
Yep.
Like, you're kind of a fuck up." Like, she's very kind of mean.
But then you understand where the boy's coming from. He's like, "Listen, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do."
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's going to be like a whole thing. But then, of course, Lucy arrives. So.
Yeah.
that kind of changed the dynamic a little bit.
In one of the most realistic shooting scenes put to film, like, I've ever seen.
Ever.
Lucy breaks into the home with a shotgun and begins to massacre the family, revealing that it was the Belfonds who tortured her in her youth. She kills both adults who carried out the torture 15 years earlier before turning her attention to Antoine, who takes too long to answer her questions. Marie almost escapes, but Lucy has seen enough horror films to know the under the bed trick does not work.
No, there's definitely
someone under the bed.
Yeah, okay.
In this, like, really, really terrifying, like, this girl is hiding under the bed, like, kind of whimpering, and even though I think she knows, like, the shotgun blast will not go through the bed, she still shoots the bed to basically terrify this girl from climbing out from under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, like, systematic.
Very systematic, and honestly, I can't express how grounded this scene is. Like, she is wielding a heavy double-barrel shotgun, and every hit, she clearly... Every character that gets murdered gets fucking... just guts blown out.
Seeing the dad get shot and, like, get blown back, like, 10 feet, I was like, oh, God. Like, this is, like, this is brutal. Like, it was not... It's not your Hollywood...
No.
Shooting.
There ain't no Christopher Nolan shooting in this one.
No.
But it's like, oh, there's no blood.
And then there are, like, a slight trickle of blood. Like, no, it is bloody.
It's bloody. Antoine probably has it the worst because literally she stops and asks him, do you know what your parents did to me? And he does not know how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And before he can say anything, she shoots him right in the fucking chest at the breakfast table.
And he looks so scared.
He does. And of course, also during this scene, Lucy's like going through a mental breakdown. She's not calm. She's calm a little bit, but then she starts losing her fucking mind towards the end of this. Hearing noises. She shoots into the fucking ceiling out of just pure, just energetic rage.
Yeah.
Just wailing out. It's fucking insane. So, yeah, that was a bad breakfast for the family. Not the best breakfast.
No.
So, at this point, Lucy flees the home. Of course, after having a very brief moment with her demon buddy, who's been sticking around. and she runs headfirst into Anna, who explains... she explains to Anna, actually, what ended up happening. That she murdered her abusers, and they're in the house over there. And Anna goes to investigate.
Yeah, and this was after... Yeah. This wasn't mentioned earlier, but Lucy calls Anna basically also from a payphone, so like super 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically saying like, I found them and Anna was just like, where are you? Like, mm-hmm. She's basically, you can kind of get the vibe that Anna has always looked out for Lucy in the 15 years in the interim that we didn't really get to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she really is there for her as new as she can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Lucy kind of loses it for a second, and as she bolts out, like, in terror.
Yeah, after
that's when they run
being
in.
Chased. And this is sad, because, like, you can kind of get the vibe mm-hmm. that Lucy killed this family because she thought it would make this demon that has been haunting her leave her alone.
And it's not working. Definitely has not worked.
Because she keeps yelling, like, I've killed them. What do you, like, I don't you see? Like, I've killed them. Like,
you're like, this was supposed to be it, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. So Anna investigates, believing Lucy has actually murdered innocent people. And there's a lot that we're yada yadaing through, but mm-hmm. basically they're cleaning up house. They're cleaning house.
They're trying to clean up a crime scene, essentially.
Yeah, and figure this whole thing out. Anna soon discovers that Mrs. Gabrielle Bellefonte is actually still alive and really, really tries her best to hide this from Lucy.
It's something that's really gruesome to me every time when I see a character that's supposed to be dead be alive.
Oh, come back to, like, and
And that seems to be a French thing because Alexandre Aja did it really well in The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
He did it really well with the sister / wife to the main character, mm-hmm. Doug, like, when she got shot in the head.
Yeah.
But she's still alive.
Yeah.
Like, this movie's within the same mm-hmm. ballpark. Obviously, it's from a director from the same movement.
But I mean, similar movement, yeah.
And expect that same level of brutality. If you've seen that movie, think about, like, all the graphic things in The Hills Have Eyes, but for much longer and more graphic.
That's the thing. It's like, The Hills Have Eyes is, like, such an American movie.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's done by a French director.
And it is brutal. It's
and
a
it's
very brutal movie.
And it's graphic, but it is, like, I don't know, like, they're two sides of the same coin, right? Like, they're very similar in some respects, but in others, completely different.
No, yeah. This movie gets to the point sometimes where it makes that one look like Toy Story. Sorry.
Yeah,
it
totally.
Just does. In an attempt to get Gabrielle to safety, Anna drags her toward the door with the promise of safety once she makes it to the forest. This is halted by Lucy as she discovers Anna in the act and begins to brutally bludgeon Gabrielle Bellefonte in front of Anna.
This is, again, I mean, we talked about this being the most, like, graphic shooting scene. Like, mm-hmm. this is probably one of the most graphic bludgeoning scenes.
Yeah, you're seeing...
Like, you're seeing someone's skull get straight up bashed in.
Exactly. And the body's not, like, it's not like a Hollywood body that's just taking it. It's struggling with it. It's really fucked up.
It's hard to watch. It mm-hmm. is very hard to watch. Again, just... And this is just something from my own, like, ugh. But seeing someone's, like, skull get, like, caved in like, a way that it should not be, in a way that means that they will live, is really disconcerting and, like, gross to me.
Yeah.
I mean, evolutionary-wise, like, that would make sense that is off-putting for us as humans.
Yeah.
There's another scene in the Belko experiment where someone's head gets bashed in, but the man is bald, so you literally see a concave in his skull, and it is upsetting.
Oh, I still need to see that one.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's really good. I would say it's fun for a commercial horror film.
Okay.
So after this, Lucy starts to turn her attention to Anna, wondering why her best friend would basically help her abuser escape and do such a thing. Lucy is then attacked by her little demon friend, but all Anna sees is Lucy harming herself. Oh. And again, a very graphic scene of self-mutilation. So if that is something that upsets you, maybe consider elsewhere. Yeah. Friends, it is a warm, almost summer day in Southern California on the day that we're recording, and I live, like, my window overlooks my apartment complex's pool, and I do think a horde of children just entered the pool area. Mm-hmm. So apologies for all the ambient sounds you're about to hear.
No, you're not hearing the ghost children. You're not hearing ghost children. That's just a bunch of Latino children outside.
Yeah, enjoying the warm spring day.
Somebody's about to get tossed in there, you hear the splash. It's a wonderful icebreaker for really how we're discussing cruel murder. So oh boy. Anyway, also, just so you know, in this particular scene of self-mutilation, this movie's really well acted.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's too well acted.
It's like so, like, I, yeah.
You want to see somebody convincingly portray suffering?
This is it.
This particular scene.
Lucy, I wanted to, like, weep for this girl.
It's bad. It's really, really, really bad. So it's revealed that this demon is actually a manifestation of Lucy's guilt from her escape. As in a flashback, we see that as the escape happened, and just before a young Lucy was about to leave, she noticed a girl of similar age tied up, clearly a victim of torture, right as she was about to exit. Lucy opted to flee instead of saving the young girl, who was clearly in a very hopeless situation. She is chained in there, to her flesh.
Right. And here's the thing that sucks is, like, and obviously this would have changed the movie, and there wouldn't have been a movie, but, like, I wish she had told someone about that.
Yeah, you know what, though? They went back to investigate, and they saw nobody at the house, though, exactly, right?
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, if she had said that, like, I saw someone there and I chose to leave her there, and, like she could have gotten help for that. She could have worked through her own guilt.
Yeah, she's still a kid, though. I don't fucking know. Like, she, in the movie, you see she's still a child.
She's 20. Well, happens. I mean, we're assuming she's probably in her early 20s because she couldn't have been older than, like, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And this is 15 years later. So she's
a,
like,
kid logic,
yeah,
right,
she's
there.
In her early, yeah.
Probably too much of a shame to even bring that part up.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like she probably was just too ashamed to tell anyone about it. So it was just something that, like, she never got to get help for.
No, definitely. And no support structure either to help. This movie.
Yeah. The only person who knows about the monster, or, like, the girl who chases her is Anna.
Yep. That's true.
So this part, that really sucks. Lucy flees the home with a razor blade and basically outside in the super rainy night slits her own throat, realizing she will never truly be able to escape her demons.
Yeah.
It is rough.
I have a hard time watching this particular scene. I don't know why. As I saw everything was happening, I literally just kept looking away at the screen. I'm like, Anthony, look up. And I'm like, no, I'm looking down at you. No, I'm not doing that.
This was rough. It was a very well done, like, special effects. Mm-hmm. Like, not to break it down to its parts, but it is a very, like, it is a very well done special effect.
Yeah, and at this point, you spent half the story with Lucy. So to have her just take, like, herself out.
It's a very interesting misdirect.
Yes,
because you're spending so much time, and because after the title card, you spend all of your time with Lucy, it leads you to believe that she's the main character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even though they're both kind of main characters, but it leads you to believe that it's going to be her story that you're going to be following.
Well, the plot moves with Lucy.
Exactly.
And Anna's there, and then now there's no Lucy.
Right, so now we go to
Anna. Yeah, Anna is really distraught, and she remains at the home of the massacre for some reason, and calls her estranged mother in the morning. This conversation cues us in that her household was also abusive, providing her no peace of mind. However, a sudden noise provokes her to explore the living room.
Yeah, a hammer falls down, like, basically this, like, whatever. Thanks, screaming
loud
children.
Fucking children.
But basically this hammer falls down this shaft, I guess, And Anna discovers a secret underground chamber where this horrifically tortured and badly maimed girl named Sarah resides. Sarah has scars all over her body, like skin is hanging off. She has a metal device installed in the top of her head. And Anna realizes that Lucy was actually very, very right about the Belfond family. And let's break this down a little bit, because she basically goes into this, like, underground chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And we pass this, like, and this is when we get our first glimpse into what we later learn to be the martyrs. Mm-hmm. But this hallway of, like, these, like, women just with these dead-eyed expressions.
Yes.
And I was horrified.
Yeah.
And it's, and it just, it pans to each of these photos and just stays there. And mm-hmm. That made me very uncomfortable. I was like, oh my God, like, where are we going with this?
Oh, and the way though, like, Sarah's skin.
This whole thing is just awful.
Okay, so I'm gonna use a terrible analogy here to give you an idea visually of what you're gonna experience. So imagine, you know, when, like, you have those, little paper cutter things, you have the blade that comes down,
yes,
right?
Yes, like the old school one, yeah.
Yeah, and you know when you have, like, too much paper?
Yeah.
And it can't cut through all the papers?
Yes.
And there's some of the papers on the top are just hanging out?
Yes.
While the rest are intact. That's her skin. In checkers. In checkers all across her body. And some parts of her skin are completely dangling. Torn off. Yeah, but yeah. It is dangling. And it is gruesome. And this metal device is screwed into her head.
And we don't realize this. And I didn't realize this until later. But, like, yeah, she has this thing covering her eyes. And, like, she cannot take it off.
It's physically impossible for her to take it off. Without, obviously, some help. So Anna proceeds to remove the metal device attached to Sarah's head. And places her badly mutilated body in a tub full of water. Which, obviously, if somebody has that many gaping wounds, it's going to be fucking horrifying. But Sarah screams in pain as, like, Anna attempts to treat her wounds. It's really graphic.
Yeah, so this is, like, yeah, this is awful. So basically, for those who don't know, Sarah, like, this device that's attached to her head is literally screwed into her head.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna basically uses, like, pliers to pull these, like, hooks out of her head.
Yeah, it's not, she's not unscrewing it out of her head, she's ripping it out.
Yeah, it's like staples, like, yep. Big in, like big staples.
Ugh.
And it is, and, like, Sarah's screaming, and, like, it is, like, like, stomach in knots, like, horrifying to watch.
I literally booted up my Switch as it was happening and played Super Mario 3D World Bowser's Fury and tried to 100% the game as it was happening, looking up briefly. And I kept being like, no, you gotta watch, put it down. I'd go back and I was like, no, I can't do it again. Yeah.
No, this movie demanded 1,000% of my attention. I couldn't look away.
This particular scene, I had to look away. I really did. And the next one, actually, too. Because, Jesus, it doesn't let up.
No. Sometime later, as Anna begins to mourn Lucy's death, Sarah begins mutilating her own arm with a steak knife. Anna frantically tries to help the suffering girl, but Sarah is then unexpectedly shot in the head by armed members of a mysterious organization. So this is where, quick pause.
Mm-hmm.
If this is all you want to get from the movie, just assume Anna gets murdered and she lives her...
Yeah.
She gets murdered and the movie.
That's it. There you
There's
go.
There's the movie. If you want the rated R version, that's the rated R version. Everything after this is the worst movie, like, worst, most graphic part of a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, so...
And Sarah's whole thing was pretty bad, but, like, Just assume they both get murdered. Roll credits. Like, it's...
Honestly, the way Sarah is cutting her arm.
I know. It is awful.
She's like...
And she's, like growling at her. Like, it's just, like... It reminds me...
It's, like, feral.
It's feral, yes. That's kind of the direction I was going in. But it reminds me of... The Poughkeepsie Tapes. It reminds mm-hmm. me of yeah. Cheryl Dempsey.
Yep, that's right.
Like, her whole thing where, like, basically she started, like, cutting herself because she didn't know what life was without pain.
Exactly.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah, and you gotta understand, like, she's shaving off the skin from her arm. It's fucking... It's like an orange peel. She's like going the orange peel route.
Disgusting.
With lots of blood and exposed muscles.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. So the duo who pulled the trigger interrogate Anna, ultimately abducting her as well and bringing her to meet their lead, or their leader, a woman they refer to as Mademoiselle.
Okay. So this is where a lot of things kind of start coming together for the movie.
Yeah.
And man, does it become a lot. So, Mademoiselle reveals she is part of a secret society that is attempting to discover the secrets of the afterlife. This is done via the creation of the Martyrs, who are people that are subjected to extreme systematic torture based on the belief that their suffering allows them to transcend reality and gain insight into the experiences of the afterlife. Oh, and, you know, young women are able to become martyrs far easier than other people. This is because, according to Mademoiselle, the world is divided into victims, people who hate torture, and martyrs, those who secretly embrace it.
Oh, this is something. Mm-hmm. So, really fucked up philosophy behind that one.
It is.
young women, yeah. Young women are, they're just so destined to become martyrs.
Yeah, and this is also just like, again, I don't know why, well, I do know, well, I mean, because it's obvious, but like, the scene, Mademoiselle basically takes out this little photo book of all of these women mm-hmm. who were dying some, like, tragic, horrible, awful death,
mm-hmm.
and was basically saying, like, look at her eyes, like, and, like, I can only hope that, like, these are not real pictures of human death.
Yeah.
But knowing that this is a new French extremity film, I can't be sure.
Yeah. Either way, it's pretty convincing.
It's very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
But her just basically putting on this little, like, photo, like, mm-hmm. like, collage of just, like, all of these women have one thing in common. Like, they were experiencing horrific torture, and instead of just succumbing to it, they... Mm-hmm. They have this euphoric, like, look on their faces, which is really just, like, dead-eyed yeah. and, like... weird,
completely, like, brutalized, that their skin is stretched all the way back.
Some of them are like dying of, like, leukemia. Some of them are yeah. burned horrifically. Some mm-hmm. of them are being like drawn and quartered or being flayed alive, and like
that's pretty fucked up. Like, the imagery really itself is
the imagery is terrifying, like absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
And after all of this, Mademoiselle gets up and is just like, well, young women are the ones who seem to be the most receptive to this transformation. Pointed look at Anna, who is a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's like, curious, isn't it? You brought this up to my doorstep. Like, she's like a Harry Potter villain at this point.
she's a terrifying villain. Mm-hmm. Like this movie is, again, like you were talking about, so well acted.
Yeah.
So well acted.
And what's this picture? Oh, that's me at Disneyland. The torture here was, we were waiting for Splash Mountain.
We were in direct sunlight.
We didn't buy any passes.
We were in direct sunlight.
Yeah, the looking, that's my date's eyes right there. That's how I knew this whole thing was real, really. Yeah. Oh boy. So the group turns their attention to Anna and makes her their newest subject, unfortunately. She is subjected to just very, very, very savage beatings on a daily basis and is given almost no respite. Right down to mealtime, which is good old force feeding. Over time, Anna begins to grow numb and simply laments to any free will she had over to her abusers. And
yeah.
This is not a small scene. This is a long, grueling scene of this, fucking torture.
Like, this feels so much longer than it probably was. I kind of want to go back and look.
Like, timestamp it?
Yeah, timestamp it. But, like, it feels like 30 minutes. Like, I have no idea how long it actually
It felt like the whole third act, to be honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, it mostly is.
But this is, like, torture training. Like,
yeah.
She's doing little infractions and getting beat the fuck down.
Yeah. But it's, like, you're even, like, the really humiliating things. Like, her hair. Like, they're cutting
her hair.
Shave
her head.
Real Viva Vendetta type yep. treatment. Like, all these things that really impact you psychologically. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me in the way that, like, as far as, like, tortures go,
mm-hmm.
this wasn't very bad. She got beat, and, mm-hmm. like, she was force-fed, but, like, she wasn't, like, being poked with a cattle prod anytime she fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Like, she had a bed. You know what I mean? Like, but, like, it was so, like, systematic and, like, consistent and regular. And, like, she really had no real respite. That I can, that it was really, really unsettling.
It's like as if, to bring a really not quite, a whole different medium reference in here. It's like if Dolores Umbridge did the torture.
Sure.
Yeah. But that, like, authoritative, systematic way of, like,
in comparison, because there's actually, I'm so glad you brought this up, because earlier, Mademoiselle is like, oh, Lucy escaped us 15 years earlier. We've changed how we do things now, because beforehand they were just in, like, some decrepit little warehouse in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Now they have this really medical looking, like, torture chamber.
Yeah.
Like, they've upped their game. Definitely. Like, which is a fucked up way to say it, but they have. And so, yeah, it is a very systematic way of achieving their goal. And it's done so... The children screaming in the background is real...
Nice real sound, touch, real sound Nice track. Touch here, yeah.
But,
so loud.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. But it's a real, fuck, they made me lose my train of thought.
I would say, if you're watching this particular scene, we're the way... It's hard to describe just how realistic and hard-hitting this shit is. He punches her fucking hard.
Yes.
All over her body. All over her fucking face. Yes.
It's the face stuff that, like, really fucked me up. But what I want... I remember what I was going to say. You also get the vibe that because this is so, like... systematic, and they're trying to get a reaction out of her, there's no, like, real pleasure being taken from what they're doing.
No, no, definitely not.
Like, as opposed to, like, you know, like, a serial killer or, like, someone who, like, genuinely derives pleasure from inflicting pain, right? That you normally see in horror films.
Yeah.
These people don't. Like, you can kind of get that feeling that, like...
They're kind of just doing the job.
Yeah. It's kind of like they're not enjoying themselves. It's not some... But, like, they're so fucked up in the head that, like, it's, like, a job. Like...
They're, like, this isn't, like, a maniacal fucking Joker-like character doing shit like this and, like, haha, now... Like, there's nothing like that. It's literally just, like, your fucking receptionist at your office.
Yeah. Like, there's even a moment where the woman who had been force-feeding her and subsequently backhanding the fuck out of her every time that she refused to eat, like, caresses her face and is just like, you've done it, like, you're almost, we just have to go to the next step.
Ugh.
And it's just like, I'm like, wait, what, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's just a mundane aspect to it that really elevates it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. So, after she hallucinates a conversation with Lucy, Anna is told she has surpassed every other test subject in the history of the program and reach the final stage, which involves a Ramsay Bolton-esque flaying while she's still alive. Anna survives the procedure, and the team determines that she has indeed achieved transcendence. Anna then whispers something into Mademoiselle's ear.
Yeah, so, So, yeah, she gets skinned alive.
And they show it. Like, they don't, like, show, like, skin being removed, but they show her body after, which I don't know is entirely, like... medically accurate, but it's fucking nasty.
It's beyond fucking gross. Imagine, well, and the hard thing is, you see her go through so much, and the transcendence is literally like, well, what can we do that's so much worse?
And it's removing all the skin from her body.
And it looks so much worse. It's fucking horrifying.
It's like really she's a muscle bad. Suit. Like,
yes.
And but her face is still there.
But it, yeah, and it's real, like... not clean either.
No.
It looks haphazard and gross.
And they strap her into this, like, metal cage thing to do it, and it's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's truly terrifying and horrific.
And mundane in some ways. She's just dangling there. It's fucking, it's so stupid. Ugh. Okay, so Mademoiselle summons her other members of the Secret Society, of course, who eagerly await to hear what Anna told their dear leader. Before talking to the rest of the members, Mademoiselle's assistant asks her if what Anna said to her was clear. The leader replies yes and asks him if he can imagine what comes after death. He replies that he cannot, and Mademoiselle encourages him to keep doubting, then kills herself with the good old self-inflicted headshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so... I keep saying this, awful.
Because there really is no, like, you don't get the information either as an audience member.
We don't hear what, and it's a lengthy whisper. Like, it's not like a quick, like, there's nothing. It's like a whole, like, there's explanation. There's some explanations being made. I wasn't, like, upset, but I got the heebie-jeebies, but I was trying to, like, basically watch YouTube videos to relax after this, and I was texting Ernesto about this, and then he just, like, texted me, keep doubting, LOL, and I was just like, no, you don't understand. I want to just, like, it's so bad, like,
but it's just so haunting too.
It's haunting. Thankfully, I knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. Like, I read, like, again, if I had not read the Wikipedia synopsis before watching this movie, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah, no, I went in completely not knowing, so I'm just like, wait, what?
Oh, you must have felt real weird.
It felt so like they just took that part from you that you could have got something,
like,
out of it.
The one thing where it's just like, oh, they're trying to make a statement about life after death, or like, whatever.
We're gonna get some kind of, like, nope. You know what? In my mind, I'm like, okay, so did she not actually learn anything? And this is like a political thing because now she knows her whole thing was futile. Like, my mind's running through so much shit, and ultimately it means nothing because
she is off herself.
Yeah. And she's so smug to her fucking assistant, too. Like, we'll keep doubting.
So the final shot of the film is a flayed catatonic Anna simply lying on a table
with her blue eyes
staring into nothing. I do also want to mention the assistant kind of like hypes up all of the other members of the secret society.
Oh yeah, we're about to learn some shit,
and they kind of like revere Anna, like they're just like saying, like, thank you everyone for coming to pay your respects to Anna, who did this and this out of the 17 years of us, you know, being a part of this program. Only, you know, like three, you know, or like four women have ever made it to martyrdom. She's the only one who's ever been able to convey what she heard or what she saw to Mademoiselle, like this whole thing. And it's not like they revere her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
she's not just a lab rat. They're like, oh my God, she is the key to our insights.
Yeah. Like, they could, like, truly a true martyr. And it's, anyway, that's the movie.
Yep.
Hope you guys are feeling okay.
Very, very, just kind of ends. And also, again, aesthetically, this thing is one of the most, like, true to form graphic kind of representations of whatever it's trying to pull off on screen. Like, it really is. It really, really is. I can't express to you how, like, every kind of injury in this makes me flinch. Every little thing makes me kind of, like, wince.
Yeah. Especially because, like, the Foley artists for this, like, the beating scenes, like, are brutal.
Yeah. So what do you think of the film, Alex? Huh? What do you think?
I'm
watching it again.
Yeah, like, again, there's so much to from an artistic perspective, love about this movie.
Yeah.
It shot beautifully, acted beautifully, the sound design, fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, the music for this is really well done.
It truly is an art house film.
Yeah.
It's absolutely an art house movie.
Will I ever be watching it again? Not anytime soon, if ever.
I like that. Not anytime soon, if ever.
Like, never say never. Yeah. Like, I might, you know, want to see it again for, like, academic whatevers. But, man, oh, man. Yeah. This is a really rough watch.
And is it 2 hours or 90 minutes? I have no idea how long it is.
It's like an hour and 37. I checked. Yeah, at one point.
Pretty long.
It's not that long. I mean, it feels long because it's 99 minutes.
Yeah.
Of, like, just
things
pretty,
happening.
Pretty much consistent brutality.
Yeah, I would say that the only time I feel like, I wouldn't say, there's no wasted scenes because they all kind of do what they intend to do. But at the third act, the amount of beating, it really does feel like it goes on for a long time. I understand as an audience member, you're supposed to feel where she's at and how she gets to that point because it's happened to her to the point where she just laments and gives up. But they make you feel it as much as she's feeling it. They do their best to convey that across. And it's a lot. It really is a lot. Because she's getting smacked in the fucking face.
Yeah, she is.
And shaved head
again,
and everything.
She is getting her ass beat, and it is not, like, it's bad.
And it's not some wimp-ass guy doing it. It's like bald head, guy. Fucking muscly dude yeah. just fucking her up. And she's chained up and just can't, she can't go around it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And that's after a flaying. And we're still like, no. Why do we gotta keep doing this?
After a flaying.
I just saw somebody try to cut off the skin from their own arm. Are you kidding
me? Okay. Like, an hour and 5 minutes in is when she gets, so literally half an hour is, like, how long.
The last
long?
Half hour.
Yeah, the last half an hour is when she gets, like, brutally tortured.
Yeah.
She does get flayed.
Mm-hmm.
About now, yeah. So for about 24 minutes is like just her sitting in a cell getting like beaten.
That's a lot of movie. That's a lot of movie for her to watch somebody yeah. get tortured in a way that's not as bloody as previously, but mm-hmm. a lot more visceral.
Yeah.
Because they linger.
So about an hour and 5 minutes or so, yeah.
Yeah.
I bought it on YouTube, so I have it up right now.
you bought a movie that you own forever that you may never watch again.
I told all of my friends, I'm like, if you really want to ruin your fucking day, I bought Martyrs on YouTube.
I'll send you the goddamn link.
I'll send it to you, like.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. so yeah, my thoughts on the film. It's like I said, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's not like a bad movie in any kind of way. There's nothing like bad about it.
No,
really. Like that's the unfortunate part. It's not bad. It's not. It's brutal. It is brutal as hell. It's one of the most brutal movies we've ever seen on this podcast, hands down. And I don't really know what much else to say aside from you really need to have a particular palate to watch this movie. You need to have a very particular threshold for violent imagery mm-hmm. and really graphic content to really be able to stomach it, because it is going to test you in ways that you're probably not prepared for. Don't have any fucking kids in the room. Don't watch the remake.
Don't have any kids in the building, I would say.
Yeah. And you know what? Watch it in the dark. Go the whole full experience.
Honestly,
I watched it deep in the dark.
I did too. I feel like it definitely made my experience a little bit more freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a little bit harder to watch in certain parts. Yeah, the whole thing was just, like, beginning to end, just mm-hmm. consistent brutality and just gore. And here's the thing. It's like, and I don't know if this is just based on my limited experience with New French Extremity, even though I love the genre.
Yeah.
They just do gore in a way that Americans can't.
No. There's no, I wouldn't say there's no style, but there's no attempt at overt style.
Yeah.
American films, we very much are dynamic in the way we portray this kind of stuff. Because mm-hmm. it's like, haha, look, see, this never happens. Here's a crazy-ass gore that's coming right at the screen. This is not that at all. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. It is so, like, this is what would happen if you tried to fucking cut off your arm with the steak knife. That's what it's going to look like. It's going to be an overhead shot.
The realism, I think, is really what sets it apart.
No, I 100% agree. This really is so... Our thoughts on the film? It's fucked up. It's pretty fucked up. It's a very fucked up movie. So, but that kind of brings me to another point when we're talking about differences here. So, Martyrs has been described as the anti-torture porn film by its creator. Why do you think that is? And what separates this film from other horror movies of its time period? Because some reviews really reflect on... this being very different from torture porn. Well, again, the other reviews that disparage the movie mm-hmm. put it right in that category.
Again, I think a lot of reviewers who think torture porn is just gore
mm-hmm.
kind of miss the point with torture porn. They miss the point with torture porn. And with New French Extremity, particularly Martyrs, mm-hmm. I think they also think that exuberant gore immediately means torture porn, which yeah. it isn't. I think that, and I don't necessarily off the top of my head have the language to articulate the points that I want to make, but to at least distinguish the differences between the two, but there is like a stylistic difference between the two.
Yeah.
That I think if you are a fan of the genre, it is night and day to be able to tell like the difference between the two and kind of the feelings that they invoke. Like
yes.
The feelings that Martyrs invoked is very different than like Hostel, mm-hmm. or Saw, like the feelings that those invoke.
I feel like with American torture porn movies, you can clearly tell that these are done with a commercial focus in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're done in a way that while it is gruesome and definitely a spectacle, it's not intended to challenge the audience beyond that. It's not intended to challenge the audience beyond, can you stomach what you're looking at right now that's hyper-stylized, given you with the most baseline, almost caricatures sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of the Saw movie, the characters that this is happening to are caricatures. They're not real characters. They're the doctor that did this bad experiment and ruined somebody's thing, and then now it's like, see, haha, now you're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't a broader philosophical question being asked when you look at a lot of these other type of more American torture porn movies, for the most part, at least at the base level.
I agree.
It's something that you have to dive into, and only for the good ones. Now, this starts off with an abused child running through a rainy day, and it doesn't get better than that. It doesn't.
Oh, that's such an eloquently fucked up way to put it, but it's true.
It's asking you to take a look at this abuse and dissect it,
yeah.
and experience the abuse with somebody who's trying to process it and does not do it.
Yeah.
They do not successfully complete this. And the world itself is making sure that that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie about the victims.
Yeah.
It's not like where a Saw movie is about Jigsaw. That's who the movie's about. And everyone else
Martyrs
goes
is
around
about
that.
Abuse victims.
It's totally about abuse victims. Yeah. And guess what? It shows it with a lot more abuse.
That's a great point. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And again, the commercial kind of, yeah, there's in America and with torture porn movies, or even just like franchises to begin with, like, mm-hmm. it's more focused on the antagonist.
Yes.
It's more focused on, you know, the big bad and their story.
And the message they're trying to send.
Right. And I feel like torture is used as the plot device. Like, mm-hmm. it's used to kind of move the story along.
It does.
Well, in this is like more like the thing that happened. I don't know, like, how to really describe it, but it feels different.
It feels different. And it also, I feel like in a lot of torture porn movies, it feels like the opposition really, really is in control.
Mm.
But you don't really see them striving for something and struggling with it.
Yeah.
The opposition in here, they're just kind of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling with figuring out a solution that just happens to involve them abusing and fucking up young women.
Yeah.
So they're, at the end when she is the person that achieves transcendence, you see an emotion you'll never see in a torture porn film, which is glee. And like, oh my God, you're like, oh, what? We can, like, we totally have our own goal being fulfilled right here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's such a grounded realism to that kind of jovial, like, and we're about to find out, like, what happened, why this is the case. And there's no Hollywood aspect to it. There's no grandmaster plan, no big twist, whatever revelation. It's like, well, ambiguously, I'm going to just shoot myself.
Right.
Here's your fucking movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a big fuck you. Like,
it is a big fuck you. It's an absolute giant fuck you. Yeah.
I think, and I'm kind of curious on your thoughts, and I did want to talk about this because I mentioned it earlier. The latter third of the movie is definitely, is this misogynist?
Maybe.
And I don't know. And
I can't, I'm not 100% sure because honestly, like, go for it, yeah.
The idea of, like, oh, young women are the most apt to become martyrs just sounds stupid. Like, it doesn't sound necessarily misogynist. It just sounds, like, stupid.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion. I can kind of understand where the point that, like, they were kind of trying to make, like, to make it somehow scarier, because it does make it scarier.
It does.
And I don't know if that's because I am a young woman, but... but yeah, I don't know.
Well, I also feel like this movie asks, can you really trust their philosophy though? How do you know that that's even correct?
Yeah.
Like, you as an audience don't know. All you know is what the victims have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if the reason they put them there is for legit reasons for, like, they actually have a plan.
They could start...
Or they're speculating, whatever. Yeah. There's, like, a futility to it, almost.
Well, I also think, and this kind of goes back to the movie, but it's a secret society. Mm-hmm. And secret societies and cults, like, they all kind of have this stereotype of focusing on young women anyway. And mm-hmm. even taking that a step further, thinking about, like, oh, we have to sacrifice, like, a virgin.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And they always have this grand patriarchal figure typically in the middle. The fact that this one is a matriarch
yes. is very interesting
it's,
to me.
Which is other, that's why it almost feels like it's trying to deflect that criticism a little bit in doing that and making that creative choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like the methodology, like, you literally get 20 something minutes of this poor girl that you've stuck with almost the entire story.
For the last hour, yeah.
Being brutally beaten and tortured in ways that really, they aren't as extreme as obviously the, you know, the stuff that happens before that, but it does feel like genuine abuse.
Yeah.
It does.
Absolutely.
And from, like, kind of the most husky male in the whole thing, and who's just doing it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not in it. He's the tool that this happens.
Yeah, he's the muscle.
He is. He really is. Is it misogynistic? I really don't know. I can't quite... I don't feel like maybe that was the intent, but who knows what place this guy... Or what he's even into that could bring him to convey these images that could be seen as misogynistic 100%.
Yeah, could it be read that way?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, if someone were to come to me and say, I didn't like Martyrs because it felt misogynistic, like, totally. Like, yeah. You do you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think there's a lot of other reasons to not like the movie, but... And misogyny is pretty low on the totem pole for me, but...
Yeah.
That's just me. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a totally valid read.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the fact that it is so grounded and realistic in a lot of ways, and you see something that someone else could be doing to someone else.
Mm.
Not the flaying, but, like, the regular punching and things
like
that.
Right, like, just, like, straight up just beating the shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just that.
By the time, like, we get to the end of the movie, she doesn't look like her anymore.
She doesn't. No.
Which is also part of the fucked up part. Like, she is... Completely different person.
She is numb. Also, just completely taken out of her. Ugh,
it's awful.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad, people. Oh boy. So, you know, as you're a fan of the New French Extremity movement, why do you think this movie is such a tentpole of that particular genre? In every article about New French Extremity that I was
Martyrs
looking at,
comes
Martyrs
up.
Is the one that comes up even more than High Tension.
Because I think Martyrs is significantly more well done than High Tension.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when we're talking about Martyrs having that art house feel, Martyrs is an art house film. Like,
definitely.
It has that feel to it. It has, like you said, is it a grotesque, like, horrible movie? Yes, mm-hmm. But it is not, like, you cannot fault it. Like, production-wise.
For its whole filmmaking prowess.
Like,
really,
yeah,
can.
No.
Even down to the pacing. It's paced super well.
It's paced well. Like, the filming is beautiful. The music is done well. The acting is good. The writing is good. Like, it is a beautifully done movie. It is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's incredibly hard to fault it. And it encapsulates everything New French Extremity is about.
Yes. No, yeah.
The art house, the horror, the, you know, extreme violence, the body horror. Like, it's all there. Mm-hmm. To, like, a T, and done to an incredible extreme.
Yeah, I feel like if you're looking at other films in the genre, and you're looking at those particular aspects,
mm-hmm.
you can look at some of the best scenes other films have done, and you can look at a scene from Martyrs that did the same thing. And you're like, see? This is comparable.
Right.
Martyrs kind of does it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and enough to obviously, like, make people in the Cannes Film Festival cry.
Yeah.
Cry.
Yeah, and I would be, yeah, it's upsetting. I would cry, like I said earlier, I would have cried too.
I was, I did the thing that I did with the old Poughkeepsie Tapes episode, where I looked at, like, the comment sections of articles that were appearing at the time, and people who were there and had seen,
mm.
and how they were talking about it. It was, like, it was divisive even amongst people, fans talking. They were like, dude, I saw this at Cannes Film Festival, I'm totally down for whenever it comes to DVD, and other people were just like... I was there too, and that was one of the worst experiences. Like, that, not even a movie, it's a snuff film. Like, lots of that kind of conversation was happening
yeah.
around this film around 2008. It,
I love
it really
that.
Was that.
I love effective. That you do that.
Oh, I love it. If you can find the resource, because whatever we do a movie past, like, 2006, There's often that type of resource available. Yeah. The internet's been around for a little bit by this point, which is weird.
Yeah.
So, with that, with your lovely birthday choice, Alex, what would you rate Martyrs out of 5 oddly successful flaying procedures?
4.5 out of 5.
You make it okay? 4. I was doing a 4. Doing a solid 4. Again, I'm going to revert to the review, to my opinion before, to the opinion of a lot of reviewers. I will not recommend this movie. You really, unless you are well-versed academically, not even academic, but just be able to handle a level of gore and cynicism in your horror movie that is not common in any film in this genre, then you could maybe handle it. But you're really going to be pushing yourself on this one. But is it well done? It's amazingly done. It's really well done.
So I'm going to give it a 0.5 short of a perfect score, only because it does not have any rewatchability for me.
No, definitely not.
Like I said, I don't know if I will ever want to rewatch this movie. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm saying this considering that I watched it last night, and it did give me nightmares. Mm-hmm. So take that with a grain of salt. But other than that, I think it is a pretty damn perfect New French Extremity film. I think it's a pretty damn perfect horror film.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that I was horrified. And at this point, we've been talking horror films, and we've seen quite a few horror films for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I had seen it all.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah,
Like, truly, I went into this thinking, like, how bad could it be? Mm-hmm. Apparently, really fucking bad.
I agree. Ugh, even thinking about some of the scenes right now.
Right.
I can put, it's just, okay, the images are seared in your fucking head.
Yeah.
That's how it is for me. There's some images where I'm like, I'm never going to not see.
Yeah, it's the dead-eyed stare for me.
A patchwork of skin hanging off the muscles of some poor young woman.
Yeah.
As she screams in a tub.
In agony
while screws are being pulled from her head.
Yeah, pulled out of her head. Yeah.
And it's, this ain't like Saw, bros. There's no saturation levels on this thing or blood splurting at the screen. Oh my God, isn't she? Yeah, no.
No, it's real.
Yeah.
It obviously not.
No, but the camera stays there and you're in the process.
Yeah. I can definitely see why people suggested this film to me. It does, like, I'm like, oh wow, people must really think I'm fucked up to to suggest this film to me, but I can see why they did it, and I respect it. Like, I really liked this movie.
Yeah.
Again, horrible, will not be rewatching, but I really loved it. Like,
yeah, it's a good movie.
So that was
that was Martyrs.
Thank you for sticking with us. You guys get all of these
gold stars
gold
for everybody.
Stars. But that was Martyrs from 2008. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this week. This is also coming out the week, like this episode and next week are like bookmarking bookmarking my birthday.
Oh, okay.
So my birthday is in between this episode and next week's episode.
Well, preemptive happy birthday.
Thank
I know it's gonna
you.
Be wonderful.
Thank you. By the time this next week's episode comes out, I will age up. So thank you for everyone for listening and bearing with
our attempt to dissect this movie.
Yeah, or bearing with me for my really weird movie choices.
More to come.
Yeah, right. Next week, we are going back to a genre-ish that I've talked about before. We're talking about, I don't even know how to describe this, but we're talking about a Shudder, well, actually, is it a Shudder original? Anyway, we're talking about a scary movie that has to do with one of my favorite subjects ever.
Really?
And we've talked about it before. It's for fans of The Houses October Built.
Oh yeah, that movie. Okay. I know what we're talking about next week. There
it'll
we
be
go.
Fun. So yes. I hope you will join us next week for that. But it's a little bit of my October in June.
October and June. That's how we gotta do it though.
I need a little bit of it. So I think this will be fun.
Well, mine was Luigi's Mansion, so I think yours is a little more gruesome.
Mine's a little bit more gruesome. It's another so sorry, another graphic pick.
3 in a row, Alex.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, wait. The first one wasn't that graphic. I'm tripping. Yeah.
The one after that is pretty...
Oh, you're right. Oh, okay. This will be a fun month. Cool.
Blood.
Blood month at the Horrible Podcast.
Anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. if you like what you heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes. If you made it this far, thank you, and please consider giving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. You can also subscribe wherever you're listening. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest of all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find Anthony, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrule and Hustler.
Hey.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Other than that, go to therapy.
Yay! Afterlife bullshit.
See ya. Bye, guys.